And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Well, if you have your Bibles this day, turn actually to Matthew chapter 1 for our text this morning. For the next number of services that we have, we want to take the most of the day in the moment and to declare to people the wonderful great news that God has come in the flesh, the incarnation. And you may have heard that story so many times, you think, what could possibly be new for me to learn? Well, I want to take an angle for the next number of services, this morning, tonight, next week, over this Christmas period, to look at the Lord Jesus coming into this world and ask the question, why Bethlehem? Why Bethlehem? That's what we had read to us this morning in that very fourth verse. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. You find it again in verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And there is then one reason why there is a Bethlehem, because then it was of the house and lineage of David, and that the one who was born, Jesus Christ, was born a king. And when you turn to Matthew chapter 1, not only does the word of God declare to us that Jesus was born a king, but it also gives to us the very proof and the lineage of then that birth, which was of Joseph, of Mary. Although Joseph wasn't his father, they were both of the line and the lineage of David. And when you come to Christmas, there are many things about Christmas that we do enjoy and we do like for some, and family is one of them. Family is one of them. And here now, in the very beginning, you have here a family, the family of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, what we have here is the proof of the one who was born. There was a reason why it was in Bethlehem. Now, a number of years ago, we did have someone who came to the chapel, to the church here, who always claimed that he was of royal descent. And he was of royal descent until the very day that William married Katie. When William married Katie, for him then, a commoner, that he never traced his line back so much to then our royal family. From then on, he was of the line and lineage of Charlemagne, the first emperor of Europe. And when he died, which was in a little flat in town, I remember going into that flat where he had passed away, a very sad and sorrowful sight. It was filled with family trees. And sure enough, these family trees, there was one which I set my eyes upon. And I looked at it. It was beautifully written, tracing the family then way back then, yes, to the Duke of Burgundy, and right back even unto Charlemagne. And then I turned to the son who was with me, and I said, is this true? And he said to me, I haven't got a clue, but I do know this. These family trees cost a packet, and he spent a lot of money on it. But when you come to this family tree, you know that there are those which are Jews, and you don't have to seek and to search to find out. They religiously keep them. And when you actually open this book, it's filled with family trees. They have to keep them. They want to know them. And they can be cross-examined and they can be checked. And so when you come here, it begins, you know, with this wonderful family tree of the Lord Jesus. I know that some of you may be into that, looking and searching for your family tree. Well, I may have a book. I'm not saying it will help you, but I remember looking at it and purchasing it, How to Trace Your Family Tree Through the Lunatic Asylums. I thought I'll take that and perhaps it'll come in handy one day. But here we are. I want to show you, first of all, in this very chapter, something of the family of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And what you have here in these 17 verses, this tree, which is divided into three, and what you find, which is extraordinary on many levels, because when you think about it, you know, every one of us, you know the saying, you can choose your friends, but you cannot choose your family. But that wasn't true for the Lord Jesus Christ. He could choose his family, and he did choose his family. And what you find here in this very record, as it begins and opens up the New Testament, it's this family tree. Do you know, it was a means of converting that a famous Jewish singer, Helen Shapiro, she went came to the New Testament one day, and she looked at the very first chapter of the New Testament. She couldn't believe what she was reading. She was reading a genealogy. As soon as she read it, she knew something of that truth, which then was given. And you know what you find here, the book of genealogy, verse 1, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, that he's the king of his people, and he is the blessing then to all the world today. And first of all, for you to know something of this family of our Lord and Saviour, from verses then 1 to verses 6, it is a family which is chosen and which is elected. You know that because it says there of Abraham begat Isaac. And when you think of the history of these people, there was a moment and a time where Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, he was called from the Ur of the Chaldees to a promised land. God called him out of his kindred and his people. And God sent to him. God spoke to him. God called him. God said, come here and I will bless you. And I will make you a blessing to the world and to the nations. And when you read this genealogy, you know that he had two sons. And one was Ishmael and one was Isaac. But when you follow this family tree, he begat Isaac. Isaac was not the first to be born, but God said, it is Isaac I have chosen, through which then he was to come, and the blessed seed would come. And then you find that Isaac himself, he had children, did he not? And he had two, they were twins. There was Esau, and there was Jacob. And you read it here in verse 2. And God tells us, there it was, even before they were born. They were two within the womb. And God had told then the mother, Rachel, and what had happened is that she had come to Rebecca and she had had that word, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. And then you find that there was that which was chosen of God, and not because Jacob was any good or more beautiful or wonderful or a better nature. Jacob he shall be called, Jacob the scoundrel, Jacob the cheat, Jacob who would swindle you, that Jacob. And then you find it here that Jacob, he had 12 children, but then it was through that, was it not, of Judah. And Judah was not great by any stretch, because if you want to know the truth of the God's word today, it hides no blemishes from us. Remember that. Even the blemishes are recorded in the word. And then he had children, did he not? And here it is, Perez and Zerah. By who? By who? That terrible, awful story. By his daughter-in-law. When his son had died and his other son was given, and then she plays a harlot by the side of the road with all the grimy details, and then, oh, terrible as it is, and Judah comes and knows her, and children are born, twins once again. God chooses that line of Paris. I'm only mentioning this to you because it's an incredible line. These are chosen people, and also you do know, don't you? You find it there in verse 5, for example. There's one which is mentioned. Women in the family tree of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You find it there in verse 5. Rahab. Rahab, the harlot. Her sins were as scarlet, as red as the thread which she hung from the door. Yet alone for her nation, she came to salvation and lived as the mother of Boaz of yore. And he married Ruth, a Gentile, and Cuth, quite contrary to biblical law. It's found here, these women. You think of Rahab. She took in the spies, but she was a prostitute. And she was taken into that people. I mean, there are questions here. I know if I could give you one and give you two. Was Abraham a Jew from the Ur of the Chaldees? Was David a Jew? When your mother has to be then of Jewish, and here you've got of Ruth, which was come from that Moabite people. I want to say to you, first of all, when you read this very family tree of our Lord as Jesus Christ, it's a family that he had chosen. These people I just mentioned to you, chosen people. Now it may be that you would want this day to think, well, if I could have picked my family tree, I would have picked one of the kings of Europe. Or it may be, I say, my family. I thank God that he has put me in this family. I need you for a moment this morning. When you look around in this very place, you look at others with you, God's family, those who sit around the table, God's chosen them, your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers, those that you come to and you're with. And I know there'd be some, they perhaps may not like the family that they've been joined into, but that's the family that God has picked for himself. And when you find it, they're of difference. Here they are, of different races and different religions. And here they are. Some are noble and some are not. Some are scoundrels and they're all there. But there was one thing that holds this little list together in these first six verses. They were people of faith. God called Abraham and he believed. And Isaac believed there was a blessing and it was that to be given. And Jacob wanted that blessing and he believed. And Rahab, when she hung her thread from the door, believed that these were the people. And when Ruth came back, and there was that, was there not, of the people of Moab, that your people would be my people. Remember that this morning. And there's a message for us this day. And look, we're from many different backgrounds, but God in his great grace, it's all of grace. And when he comes to Mary, he says, Mary, you have found favor with God. And in his eyes, and he takes such people and he brings them to himself. But there's something else about this lineage. As I look there in verse 17, it's divided into three. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14. From David then to the captivity, they're 14. And there it is then in verse 6, David is begat. And then you have this line of the kingship. It is a chosen family. It is a kingly family, because there came a moment and a time in the history of these people. They were without a king, but then there was a moment that they chose a king, the wrong king. But then God chose David to be king. Now, I know it's an interesting way to start a book, but I want to show you that even in this lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ, that gospel begins. Because the gospel is this: when Jesus Christ came, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he came preaching a kingdom. Because you know why? He is the king. And when you read this great account, remember what took place. We just sang it. No room for him in the inn, but there was room for him at Calvary. And you can't help but remember, whatever you think, when he died, he came to Pilate, are you king? Are you king of the Jews? And then he was crucified. Crucified for you and for me. Jesus of Nazareth, king of the Jews. And that's when it was all to lead him. He was a savior who came into this world. The king had come. And here's the proof of it. It's all here laid. And it's laid before us. It was definitely, you know, as I said to you, it's with all the grimy details, nothing is left out. You find it there in verse then 6, David, the king, begot Solomon by her. And then you've got it in italics, who had been the wife of Uriah. That is interesting. It's an interesting, a terrible story again. And the one who was Solomon, it was not his, it was Uriah. Uriah. It's there. Don't forget it. It's in the book. And through that line of all the children that he had, Solomon was the one. And when you go to the second chapter, you do kind of know that there it is, the king's come. And then in verse 2, saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. And then you find, don't you, here it is, these accounts of their kings. Their kings, he's of a kingly line. I don't know if you've ever read it. And I tell you, I know it's a long read, but it's a great read. Winston Churchill on the history of the English-speaking people. Oh, he writes so well. And he does got a little bit of, you know, I'm sure sometimes imagination with him. And but you read of the stories of the kings and of the intrigue and of the betrayals and of the scandals and where this old family tree leads and where it comes from. That's what you've got here in these verses. It begins, and there it is, Solomon. It was so glorious, so great. And yet, all that takes place, you read those names, and they were, some of them, bad and evil and despots and killers and those which caused genocide and witchcraft. Here it is, Manasseh. But they were kings. That's the line that that Jesus came and was born of even this day. You need to know that, the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, he is the one who was born a king. As you know, he has always been a king. He is the one this day who is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, and he left the throne for that trough. He is the King of Glory, but he came and was there, brought into this family. And when you think of the people of Israel today, you need to note this. They've had no other king since the Lord Jesus Christ. When that was put on the cross, and when you think of the democracy that now has their line, they believe it come, it stops here with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it stops there because we're told that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and it's a kingdom which knows no end. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to know something about him. That what he came those thousands of years ago to preach and to proclaim, and of who he is a king and a kingdom which will always be forever and forever. And you say, why was he born in Bethlehem? Because he was of the line and lineage of David. And you today, whatever you've done with Christmas, you need to know this. There's one you need to bow the knee to. One you need to be part of this family. And although it may not be a great family, and you can look around again to one another, but everyone who comes into his family, they're a chosen people, and they're a royal priesthood, and you're given that standing. It's the family of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now it is split in this chapter into three sections. From Abraham to David, 14 generations. From David then, as it says, before they went into Babylon, 14 generations. And then it picks up there again now where we find from verse 11, and Josiah begot Jehoiakim, Nah, and his brothers. About the time they were carried away to Babylon, it was a lowly family, The last 14 generations of this family, they had been kings ruling. But from that moment, they came to serve other kings. And what you find was this, is that the prophecy which was given, that there should be one which was born of Jesse, would come out of a root, out of dry ground. That was the prophecy. That when the Christ would come, the line and the lineage of this great royal family would have come to almost nothing at all. Just a small little root. Now that tells us something again about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is that when he did choose to come into this world, and that he was born of Bethlehem, it wasn't to the great, to the big. It wasn't, was it not, in the great palaces? It was to the little town of Bethlehem. And it was to this family and to people like Joseph, blue-collar workers, a carpenter in his shop, and to Mary, who was just a teenage peasant girl who lived in a place called Nazareth, where nothing good took place. And yet, you see, this was the line. And when Jesus came into the world, and when he comes into people's hearts, I assure you, he doesn't come to the great. He comes to the lowly and to the small, and to the insignificant, and to those which the world would not even begin to look at. I don't know if you've ever seen, sometimes we have services and there are those which are the dignitaries and the powerful, and they're normally on TV, there's a big national service taking place, and you think to yourself, is this the family of God? Well, the family of God is the one that he has picked, and it is from the lowly. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Kings come to him. Powerful people come and bow down to him. But when he does come to his people, it is normally to the lowly that he does come to. We can be too big at times, but you can never be too small, too small. And he came to them. I want to talk to you about this family of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Christmas is a time, isn't it, of family. And I know there will be those perhaps which are alone. And there are orphans, and there are widows, and there are people who perhaps will have nowhere to sit round a table with. But there is a family which every one of us can be part of this day. A royal one, a royal one. And it is one which, no matter who you are, you know this. He puts people into family. The Bible tells us that. And when you come to Jesus Christ, and you come by faith, you come by faith. It's like Abraham and Jacob and every one of them. They were of faith. You're part of it. And you're part of that which is royal. And you're part of a kingdom which will know no end. And one day, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. And he says that you'll be made kings and priests unto him, and you will rule and you will reign with him. It doesn't change. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. Now, look, you've got to ask yourself, are you part of this family? And when you say that, you look around, and I know people have in the past, you look around you and you say, well, you know, I'm not too keen on this bunch here. You know, they're not my people. Well, they may not be your people, but they are his people. And you belong to him. And you say, you know these people? They're my people. They're my family. They are my family. And I belong with them, and they belong with me, and with the family of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.